I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Waypoint UK podcast, episode 10. It's May the 4th. By the time you're hearing this, it's not May the 4th now with us in this room, but that's the way non-live recordings work. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. My name is Mike Diver, senior editor at Waypoint, and I'm joined for this podcast by Kate Gray.
Hello. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, you see, there you go.
Didn't make any Star Wars references.
No, I didn't, because Star Wars is garbage.
Just to get
off on the right foot there.
I'm leaving.
There won't be any Star Wars talk unless there is. And also along for the ride today is Andy Hamilton, podcast first timer, but not a Vice Game / Waypoint first timer.
No, I've done stuff for you before. I got the fear so bad when you said it was May the 4th. It's thrown me through a loop. I was like, is it?
I've got a flight on May the 3rd.
Yeah,
so.
You're not even here.
I'm not even in the country.
You're not here. You're probably working somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, a busy man. What's happened?
What is happening on May the 4th?
I don't know. I just thought it was May the 4th. No, I was like, what?
But when you, listener, are receiving this, it will be May the 4th.
Unless they're listening to it late, Mike. Some people have busy schedules.
Sometimes it pops up early. And you can find out for yourself when it pops up early if you subscribe to this podcast using the normal means like iTunes and various other podcast providers, or just come by the Waypoint website and find it on there. Waypoint.vice.com is where all the cool stuff you need to know about video games lives, and this podcast. So Andy, as a Waypoint podcast newcomer, give us a little lowdown on what's been going on with you and games lately.
Play a lot of fighting games, Mike, basically. That's all I do. I play a lot of fighting games and talk about a lot of fighting games and try to compete in them. And that is sort of my niche.
Raison d'etre.
Yeah, basically. I've sort of carved out a bit of a niche recently, which is good. I've sort of become a bit of like the go-to guy for any time there's any fighting game chat coming up, which
like
is good.
The small matter of Marvel versus Capcom.
Marvel. Last week I did the hat trick of unreleased fighting games. Played Tekken, Injustice and Marvel. I did Marvel and DC one day.
Are you embargoed, or can you say which one of those three is your favourite?
I don't think I'm embargoed.
Well, you may as well just go for it then.
Oh, Marvel by far.
Marvel by far, there you go.
It's not even close. it's Marvel, baby. So yeah, that's sort of what I do. I mean, obviously, like I'm freelance, so I write for whoever will pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Games TM, PC Game, et cetera, et cetera. And that's it.
So you're the perfect person to bring onto a podcast that has nothing to do with fighting.
No, that's a good point. I also really like horror games.
Well, there we go.
That's useful, isn't it?
Which allows us to pivot to the fact that we're gonna start this podcast by talking a little bit about Prey. And then a little bit about Aliens. Because, I mean, it's May. Prey is imminent. Prey's out May the 5th. And then, in the UK at least, the new Alien film's out a week after that.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Now, someone... Because I thought it was May 19th, but I heard an advert from the UK the other day, a few hours ago, and it said May the 12th. So, there you go. Kate, you're back in the country.
Right now, yes.
I mean, you're not when people hear this.
For two days.
You were in Berlin recently.
I was in Berlin for a week. That was last week.
How was that?
That was good. It was for a Maze, which is a games and art sort of festival. It's not like GDC or E3 or Gamescom where it's like business and games and buy this game.
More indie-cady, isn't it?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of games that you would only ever play at a festival. There was one that was played on a vinyl, which I think you would really like. It's projected onto a turntable.
On a record player.
A record player.
I hate it when young people call them vinyl.
It's called Vinyl OS, which is why I said that. I'm sorry.
What do you call records, Kate?
Usually records.
You don't call them vinyls?
No.
Good.
It's called Vinyl OS. It's a very good game, but you'll only ever play it at a games festival, or if you've got this expensive piece of DJ hardware, which is basically just a record player that you can put MP3s on. I don't know. He explained it to me, but I didn't really understand.
Sounds so good.
It was
It's
good.
Always good to talk about games that no one listening is ever going to play.
Yeah, sorry about that. But it's interesting. And maybe there's a video of it on the internet.
Is that maybe as in there is and you can check it out?
I don't know.
Oh,
I do not know.
You haven't done your research. Haven't done your research, Kate Gray.
We talk about horror games.
We are going to talk about horror games. Let's talk a little bit about Prey. Right, Prey. Prey's the big game for me. I guess. I mean, I know you just said Injustice is coming.
Yes.
That's May. Tekken is June, isn't
Tekken
it?
Tekken is June. Yeah.
But I was looking at the schedule and there's, you know, a couple of reissues along the line. But really, Prey seems to be the big thing. Obviously, this is a new Prey made by Arkane, makers of Dishonored, Dishonored 2, and published by Bethesda, which means none of us have played it.
Yeah.
Because even though it's days away from release, the Bethesda policy is to not send out review code until like the day of release.
That used to be like a really worrying sign when games were...
And then Doom happened.
Well, no, because they did it with Wolfenstein before,
really?
And that was great as well. Like, I just think that like with Bethesda stuff, you do have to just throw your hands up and go, I guess we'll see then.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like, what are they hiding? But they now have previous for just sending games out on the day they come out and then being complete worldies. So.
I read a Polygon piece, I think, the other day that was talking about... how Dishonored 2 started this, and I was like saying, no, Doom started this, but Wolfenstein before then even. But they just didn't formalize it. It wasn't like a formalized thing.
It was before they did that big spiel where they specifically said, this is why we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Because like you say, I mean, you know, Dishonored 2, great. Doom was great. Wolfenstein, pretty good. That's the new blood, right?
And I think the other one.
And the old, New Order and Old Blood.
Old Blood.
I'm confusing the two games. But Prey is the latest. It's a reboot of a 2006 game, in a way.
Prey's a weird one, isn't it? Because it was the 2006 one. And then somewhere in the gap between that and what we're about to get, it was like, what, two other things? One of them was like a...
They tried to make a
Bounty
direct,
Hunter, Blade Runner type thing.
But even the original Prey, I was reading a little bit about this today, because obviously the new game has caused some people... I think it was on Eurogamer where I read it. You know, people have written kind of pieces on the original Prey again. And that game, they started, I can't remember the name of the studio, Human Head, is that what it's called? They started planning that in 1996.
Yeah.
And it came out in 2006. So this is a series.
It had a touch of the Duke Forever's about it.
Loosest sense possible, with only one game, but a 20-year history, which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that when they announced this latest one for real, when they were like,
yeah,
you know, Arkane have got it, this is what it is, there was like an initial wave of disappointment when that leaked footage or like leaked screens of kind of the halfway Prey 2, where it kind of looked a bit Dread. It's kind of like that sort of futuristic thing, and it was meant to be like a bounty hunter chasing criminals down and stuff like that. Sounded really cool.
This is not a bounty hunter game, is it?
No. They basically scrap that. Whatever that is gone.
It's chucked
to the side.
Complete
scrap.
Although it should be said, I mean, I guess you'll agree with me, Andy, and have you had a chance to play the demo at all, Kate?
No.
You haven't. but you know a bit about I
don't actually have any consoles at the moment, other than the Switch.
Oh, well, you're on the move, aren't you?
I'm on the move.
And Prey, alas, is not available on Switch.
Yeah, I've got my Steam and I've got my Switch and that's
those
all.
Are good enough.
Yeah.
When you're on the go, you've got your Zelda.
You've got my Zelda.
You've got your Snake Pass, maybe.
Nah.
It's quite good. I like
She's
it.
Got my Zelda.
Snake Pass is a horror game.
It's very good. It's spooky. It's not spooky.
What's not spooky?
Snake Pass.
Snake Pass. It's not that spooky, no. Are there any horror games on the Switch at the moment?
No. I mean, it depends what you class as horror.
Well, Nintendo has horror, doesn't it? What was the Eternal
Darkness? That cell section in Zelda.
Goodness me.
They've got that... Fatal Frame?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A Maiden of Blackwater.
Spooky.
That was on the Wii U.
I'm never going to play it, but it's spooky.
There's a demo on the Wii U. You can try it.
No.
Well, you could if you had your Wii U.
Also a problem. I'm trying to think of Switch horror, but... I mean, to me, Super Mario Odyssey is a horror. It's horrible.
It's body horror.
It is. It's body horror. Yeah. His hat's got eyes. He's got a really realistic moustache. You can jump on, like, human
people.
Which makes Mario not human. It's all very weird canonically.
Can you imagine if 3D skinny Mario showed up? That would be horrible. Skinny Mario is the scariest thing Nintendo ever.
I want to see what like Bowser looks like in Odyssey, whether he actually looks like Dennis Hopper or not.
Oh, it would be good if he looked like Godzilla. Like building size, dude.
just smashing it. It'd be like, so it's like Rampage a little
I'd
bit.
Be so maybe. Into that.
3D, there, Rampage.
Having to like scale him like Shadow of the Colossus.
Just off.
Stab him in the top. No. Just
a quick aside, I saw news about The Rock confirming that he's going to work on a Rampage movie.
Who's he going to play? Lizzie?
One of the big ape, maybe? Really? I have no idea. I just saw a headline. It made me think about, you know, game film adaptations. And yeah, Rampage, why not? Giant monsters. Sure. I suppose that makes really easy sense.
I'm big into The Rock playing one of the big monsters.
I hope it's a musical.
Rampage the musical.
I mean, he was very good in Moana with his singing. So
was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to take the kids to the kids club cinema.
It's good. He sings a song in it.
There is no obvious singing in Prey, the video game.
Good segue.
Which is out very soon. There is, however, to go back to the fact that it's obviously a series with a long development history, a lot of throwbacks to how games were. And by were, specifically, I mean one game series. Andy, what did Prey really remind you of when you played it?
Reminded me of the first BioShock game. Zing. A lot.
Zing. But it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Like not even a little bit. It was same vibe, same crap combat.
Oh.
Like,
the first thing you get is a wrench. You search bins to find shit.
Well, here's the thing. One of the things, it is very, very, very BioShock. Oh. It has a lot of the same, you know, a lot of the same sort of trademark BioShock bits. But one of the things I actually really liked about this demo, even in the, it says first hour, but it's a first hour in the same way the Resi demo was a first hour.
It lets you poke around though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But in terms of actual progression, it's about 20 minutes. Yeah, it's basically a tutorial and a little bit afterwards. But the bad guy in it, the what they called? The
aliens.
The aliens in
it. You see a kind of a humanoid one called a phantom.
Yeah, but what's the royal group?
A Typhon.
Typhon.
Which makes me want a cup of tea all the time.
It does a little bit, yeah. Or an expensive vacuum cleaner, it could be.
But yeah, well, that kind of works, yeah. But he's a Brexiter.
So they can become anything. And I think that was really cool because...
Here we are drinking from these cups.
Exactly.
I don't even know.
Once I had the first one of them jump out of a chair at me, which genuinely shit me up, I was like, okay.
Were you playing with headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, sound is great.
Yeah, it's by Mick Gordon, the guy did Doom and Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's very legit. But what I really liked about that is one of the things that BioShock, especially BioShock Infinite, get a lot of heat for is the fact you search every bin and you find like banana skins and bullets and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, in Prey, the bin could bloody kill you.
Oh, no.
So you've got this weird thing where like every single piece of furniture, much like BioShock, brings up a prompt, search, I'm looking through, I've got some... crap for you know,
there is a point
crafting
to the crap here,
crafting or ammo or health packs but for every one of those the filing cabinet could throw out this horrible like black, shadow monster
black
slime
mess.
Thing
so is it like Mimics but everything's a mimic
pretty much
I will never play that
I think it was just nicely subverted that one thing that people always take the piss of BioShock out of the whole bin searching.
Pick them up.
It's like that is definitely still in the game. Yeah. And it seems like an important part of it. But once I had the first one jump out of me, I was like, I'm going to just maybe leave that really suspicious looking set of drawers alone. I'm just going to...
Is that your pitch for Prey that, you know, you can search everything, but it might kill you?
Yeah, kind of. That's what I got from the demo. Cool.
That's a better line for the poster than this is BioShock in space, which is what I've seen on the underground.
Oh,
which just seems to
very
be selling
accurate
it. It's accurate, but it's doesn't it? If you were the makers of a game, do you really want your game to be sold as being a lot like another game?
Is that literally the tagline?
That's one of the quotes on a poster on the underground.
That's a bit weird.
But I think that's what you're going to get if you're not willing to send out games beforehand. People have to just go on the absolute basics. It's not like you know, what is it, a week before release now? Before release. It's not like there are writers for your favorite websites out there playing it right now and formulating an opinion on it.
And sharing their opinions with other people on Twitter and inadvertently leaking that information to the masses.
Of course. Yeah. We've all played the same 1 hour demo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is based on that. It's BioShock in space.
Yeah. I've had two sessions with it. One was last year. Was it last year? I think it was. And it was basically the demo that has come out now.
Yep.
And earlier on this, just a few weeks ago, I went into Bethesda and I played a bit more ahead of where the demo goes. And so you meet, when you actually start scanning creatures, aliens, because you get this thing, and like because the game has these things called neuromods, right?
Yeah.
Which are...
plasmids.
Yeah, they're your plasmid slash level up tree kind of skill tree kind of thing. But with this special gadget you get, you can scan the aliens and learn their abilities. And that's how you, as the character called Morgan You, which is either brilliant or just two on the nose, depending on which way you interpret it, Morgan You, which could be a man or a lady.
Yeah.
My two times through I've played as the lady, and I should really mix it up because I want to see, there's the bit at the very start where your hand goes over and it turns off an alarm. I want to see if that arm's all hairy, if it's a man. I forgot to do that. Yeah, you can. That's how you learn the ability to become a cup or become a desk tidy. Yeah, you can do that. So there's a bit in the later bit I played where I wanted to get into this room, and it's one of those games where there's multiple ways to do everything.
Yeah, it does spell that out in the demo as well. Yeah. It was a bit on the nose. It literally stops you and goes, by the way, you can do this whole section many different ways. Yeah. And then basically goes like, you get the key card or there's an air vent, but... it's on you, but it was a bit...
but you find the key card immediately and just open the
door. Exactly what happened.
Yeah. That's what happened to me as well, both times. But I became like a little desk tidy.
Wait, you can become... this sounds like everything now, as in the game everything. You can become a lamppost. You can be a moose.
I don't think you can be quite anything, but you learn the ability that these typhons have to mimic their surroundings and use it to your advantage to hide from things, to get through gaps and whatnot.
That sounds like a great
kind of cool
multiplayer game. You know, like some Assassin's Creed have the, and like Watch Dogs have the ability that you can pretend to be an NPC until someone figures you out.
The first Assassin's Creed, didn't it? You kind of became one of the monks or whatever.
That. Yeah. And if you had that, but you can be a cup and someone's trying to find you in a room and you're like, I'm a cup.
And then they just put you in the dishwasher with all the rest and you drown.
That's not a game.
That's a terrible fate. Imagine just disguising yourself as a cup. Brilliant. They don't know. They don't know what the hell is going on. You're upside down.
There's some
finish in there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, not the people.
No, not just a bunch of fins.
Okay.
Hanging out in your plumbing.
Mm. That reminds me of this time I was playing a long time ago, Duke Nukem 3D Deathmatch on the PC. And... obviously, like the animation of Duke was just like a 2D sprite, and he had
much like now,
well,
Bulletstorm.
Yeah, he's got like, he had like two frames of animation. So it wasn't even like when you had a different gun, it didn't show he had a different gun. It was just the same 2D sprite. It was just the missiles would come off or lasers would come off. A friend of mine, without letting anyone know, just went into the editor and just changed all of the Duke animations, every single one of them, to the tree texture. And then just went into a crowded area of trees on one of the maps at the start of it and just stood there. And it didn't matter wherever he moved because every single animation was just the tree. So he would remain the tree no matter what.
Yeah.
And he just stood there picking people off and no one noticed until he got caught in the crossfire of another fight.
Yeah.
And he was at top of the leaderboard and we were all thinking, how's he doing this? And then suddenly we just saw this tree go whoop and move out the way of a missile. And we were like, it's him. The mimic is the tree.
Those typhons get everywhere, don't they?
We were ahead of the curve. We should have spoke to them in it was probably around that time. We should have spoke to them then. Listen, pray, guys. We understand you're having some trouble. Your game's not up till 2006.
This is a game I would like to play. I mean, Prey, sure, sounds fine or whatever, but a game where everyone's pretending to be different objects and you have to kill each other.
A thing a while ago where people were pretending to be like statues or something in Dark Souls? There was something.
Yeah. That's devious. Or Spy Party. It's a bit like that where you're pretending to be just a person at the party. Yes.
Like it's just that's the one with just people wandering around.
Yes.
And you have to mimic like NPC movement, which is quite clever.
Devious.
And if someone like looks at you and goes, oh, they're walking in straight lines, I reckon that's,
I don't think there's a multiplayer element to Prey, is
that's
there?
A shame.
Not that I'm aware of.
Don't think so. But then again, there wasn't for Dishonored or Doom. No, there was for Doom. Of course there was for Doom. What am I talking about? I never played the multiplayer of Doom, though. Someone told me it wasn't very good and
it was totally fine.
It was adequate.
It was totally fine.
It was fine, was it? Okay, cokey. But obviously, I want to, talk about Prey being... I haven't seen in any of the marketing that it's explicitly a horror game. But you talked about jumping there. When I first played it, like a few people in that room shrieked, like audible shrieks over my headphones. And I definitely fidgeted. And I'm not usually moved, because I'm a dead husk of a human being. Most things don't affect me.
No, I can relate.
But there are jumps. And you had your cans on, your headphones on. And some of the sound, I wrote about this on Waypoint recently, like after my second time with the game. I think the sound design's great. Mm. It has that kind of dead spaciness where you're constantly on edge because you keep hearing things rattling and rolling and clanking. You know?
Yeah.
And because anything could be, you know, you'll hear something drop down behind you. And it's that, you know, again, Dead Space thing where, like, because I've been playing Dead Space again recently, maybe you can tell. And, you know, these fucking things come down. They're constantly tricking you. That game constantly tricks you. Prey's kind of doing there's a similar thing, yeah.
There's a cracking set piece in the demo. So it's not spoilers, because you can go home and play it yourself.
Yeah.
Where an, because the spaceship seems to be fallen into quite a state of disrepair, given everything that's going on.
But it's an old space station, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a bit where, like, I think it's a bin or like a canister sort of rolls down some stairs off its own bat.
Yeah.
And you're just like, right.
Did you hit it?
I didn't actually. I
hit that bin.
I was brave on that one and went, that's definitely bullshit.
Yeah, like a scripted thing that's meant to happen.
Yeah. Right. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but I just really like that. I mean, I'm pretty good with horror stuff, as I'm sure we'll get into later on, but like... the one thing that definitely got me about that jump is the fact that it wasn't like scripted. It wasn't like a really sort of telegraphed this, you know, a long corridor of silence and a clearly obvious moment coming up. It was a unscripted event because the enemy that I was chasing around the room had gone into something to hide. I'd right. lost track of it and then walked up to it and it went, when it popped out again, you know, it was...
Yeah.
It was. I think that it's definitely got something going on for it. Cause it has a genuine element of surprise, and like I say, sort of subverts these common things that you do in video games. Yeah. So just when I think I'm really good with horror games, and I kind of know how games work like this, so I can sort of almost prepare myself for jumps. But then this one, it's like, well, there's no way of doing that. Like the cup in front of you can be.
I have a real problem with games that allow you no respite from it. Like Alien Isolation, I couldn't stick with. Well, I couldn't stick with because it kind of wore its routine out a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
But also, you know, that's constant dread. And there are no safe spaces. Playing Dead Space again, there's like, even though they're telling you, oh, that's on that quarantine, it's fine now. You can go back in there. And you go back in there. There's some fucking things running away in the vent. And you're like, I'm not fine here. This is never fine. And Prey was so far as exactly the same for me, where I'm just like walking around thinking, I'm being so tentative and so cautious and so slow.
Yeah.
Unlike a Bioshock, for instance, where you can just charge around killing everything.
I do wonder if you hit the point that you get to in almost every horror game.
Right.
I think the only horror game I've never felt comfortable in was PT.
Right,
but
yeah.
But most other horror games, you hit a point where you kind of, not only do you have sort of like the rhythm of how the scares are coming
down. You see the
tells
and stuff.
Yeah, and like you almost understand it mechanically and it becomes more of a game. And usually by the end of it, you're not hurting for weapons and stuff like that, if that's how they're trying to...
Yeah, well, that's why Resi 7, for instance, kind of
maybe
loses its way a little bit. A great game from earlier this year. You know, as soon as you get enough stuff.
I kind of enjoyed how daft it got towards the end. But yeah I wonder if Prey does hit that point. Because like some of the weapons that you get in the demo are quite creative. Like you've got that... Like, what's it? It's like a glue gun.
It's a glue gun, basically.
It's called the glue gun.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It so you can freeze the enemies or trap them and then hit them with a wrench and they smash apart.
Right.
It looks like you can use that like for more than just that as
you
well.
I made steps with it.
It fires, like they're actually like big physical objects.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Zelda then.
Bit like Zelda.
Yeah. This is how I'm understanding Prey is like, okay, everything meets Zelda meets Bioshock in space.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They can put that on the poster.
Alternative history as well.
Yeah.
I'm always into a bit of alternative history. So in the this Prey timeline, John F. Kennedy was not assassinated. And ultimately the space race became a bit of a two-way. Well, the space station it's set on is an old Russian one, I want to say. But it was built with the cooperation of the US. So the Russians or the USSR and the US worked together.
Oh my.
Whoa.
Okay.
But somehow
or
other...
I didn't get any of this from the demo.
Somehow or other... I think it's all in the logs.
Are you making this up?
No, it's all in the logs and whatnot. And so that was in the 60s. And
right.
they slowly built this kind of space station around this satellite that got yeah, that, that attracted the aliens for some reason or something. But it's not set. It's a bit like Horizon Zero Dawn in so much as it's not set. Well, when the shit goes down in Horizon Zero Dawn to create the world of like 1,000 years later, like that's not very far from now. It's like the 2050s. And this Prey is set in the 2030s. There's a small, I don't know if you noticed this in the demo, like when you wake up, I want to say it's 2032.
Right.
But the game is set in later than that. I think it's 2035. Because you realize you've been, you know, that's not really your apartment.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
You've been tested on. So Morgan, you, the character you are, has been subjected to tests for a long time.
Yeah, I actually missed that. I thought it wasn't as long as that, but does actually make sense. Because they do sort of say, like, at the end of the day, you forget everything.
Yeah,
and it
exactly.
resets, and
exactly.
this has been going on.
You've been a guinea pig for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a quite a good lore there. And to be honest, that I was looking on Reddit, as you do, and people were talking about the demo and the intro sequence. People were talking about, like, even if you don't like horror games, the intro sequence to this new Prey, where you get the helicopter ride, I thought was pretty rad.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a cool, like, synth music. You get, you know, it's like good morning Morgan, and you get your helicopter and you fly to where you're going to work, and it's like, you know, you look out over San Francisco Bay and like there's, right, you know, it's like, you know, Arcane presents across the Golden Gate Bridge or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you land in your helicopter and then it all becomes a lie, because later on you find that helicopter in the facility and it's just like a rodeo horse or something, like, you know, it's just a model.
Sweet.
Not really sweet, because things are trying to kill you. They did make a helicopter for you. Apparently, was it you that said you jumped into the helicopter? No, it was one of the bit socket lads jumped
into the helicopter blades.
Just ran and killed themselves in the model helicopter. Aww. As you do. But yeah, I mean, I look at this game as a horror game, but is it to the game's advantage that it's not actively selling itself as a horror game? It's got monsters that jump out at you, loads of jump scares. It's got body horror in it. Things crawl inside bodies.
I mean, like, even in the first thing you see in the trailer is him, like, pulling his eye down and looking in the mirror, and it's all red.
It's all contaminated and stuff.
So, like, they are trading it on that stuff. I think it's definitely to its advantage, because I have some friends who do not do horror.
Yeah.
And they've played the demo and subsequently gone, like, whoa, it's really freaky. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Oh, that's like a trick, though.
Yeah, this is something that... it's good that you mentioned that, because that's something that, like, I've always held with, like, horror stuff, especially with, like, the advent of VR stuff, is you can't trick people with this stuff, because there's a certain amount of, like, especially with, like, you know, first person stuff or VR, the second you kind of break that trust and sort of go, it's actually about unicorns, and then there's like a corpse, you know, like that person might never bother with your games again.
Or
worse, like, never bother with VR again, burnt by that experience, never touch it. So I think that horror is something that it doesn't really work if you just spring it on someone. And I think it has a detrimental effect. It doesn't have the kind of, like, whoa, that was...
But maybe if you go into it expecting Bioshock in space, then you expect some scares. Because Bioshock's
a scary game.
Is kind of a horror game. Like, that first time... Like, again I'm going to reference Dead Space quickly, but the first kind of time you meet a necromorph, I want to say it's called in Dead Space, you're in a lift and it's trying to get in.
Yeah.
The first time you see a splicer in Bioshock, you're in the, I can't remember what it's called now, the bathysphere, and it's trying to get in, and it's that vulnerability and stuff. And of course, Bioshock goes on, and there's body horror in that.
Who's the dude in Bioshock, the plastic surgeon?
Oh, it's the doctor, isn't it? Early doors.
His bit, his whole section is, that's
as far as I got. So I played Bioshock on a tiny little, like, 14-inch CRT TV, in the dark, and my friends went, okay, we'll tell you when the jump scares are coming. And they genuinely meant it. They weren't trying to trick me. And they went, okay, well, there are none in this section. And then there was one, and I'm never playing Bioshock again.
My wife cut my hair the other day. Can you tell? It's all over the place. while we were watching Alien, and I kept saying to her, right, take the scissors away from my ear now. Wait. Okay, the scissors can go back there now. Just in case... I know we've seen
the
it.
Jumping and the,
I know
and
we've
the
seen
sniffing.
It, but like he's looking in. Keep those scissors away from me.
Yeah.
You know, Prey. Mm. Looks pretty good.
Mm. Yeah,
we're feeling it.
You can turn into a cup.
There are monsters in space. The whole no code until it's come out,
I think it's having an effect on it, because I thought the game was being kind of sent out to die. I'd forgotten it was by Bethesda, so I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And when I found out I was doing this podcast, the first thing I said to you is, I've not played it. Like, I mean, I guess I'm coming on to talk about Prey, but I know very little about it.
Ta-da,
demo. And you were like, no, it's cool, it's a demo. That's all we know.
Yeah.
I played the demo and genuinely came away from the demo. Like, I'm actually pleasantly surprised by this. This has actually got some really cool ideas.
I've seen other people do that. I mean, Sam Roberts, who's a PC gamer, isn't he? He said something similar on Twitter the other day about, like, you know, enjoyed it. Enjoyed
it that seems demo. To do all the stuff that people liked and remember BioShock being good for.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
if that's enough, it might score higher than the sevens that I think it's probably going to get, which is good. That's fine. That says this game is good. It does everything you want it to.
Score. Does it?
Maybe not in the eyes of publishers.
Depends on the
publication. Yeah. Yeah, but we shall see. I'm hopeful for it. I think it's coming out at a good time when there's not a lot of other big games.
There's nothing out.
You know, it doesn't have to compete with some of the ones we've had at the start of the year. And obviously we're not getting anything like new Uncharted isn't until August. You know, those kind of horrible box that is action adventure, you know, that does well. The Tomb Raiders of this world, you know, we haven't got any of them for a while. So I don't know. Hopefully it does all right for them. I mean, it's been a lot. I know people were really excited about it, so touch wood for them. You guys kind of touched upon it a minute ago in terms of, like, almost like, you know, horror games that aren't horror games. Just quickly, what games have kind of messed you up a little bit that aren't sold as horror? Like, you know, here's Prey, boom, it can surprise you. Here's BioShock, boom, it can surprise you. Like, what puts you on edge or has caught you out?
So the first talk I ever did was about this. It was called Super Mario 64 is a survival horror. And I stick by that. I mean, okay.
You are just a clickbait generator.
I am. I'm a writer. That's what I do, Mike. So basically, if you compare it to something like Resident Evil, which I've played many of,
Have you played all the Resident Evils?
No. I have not played any of them. but I know about them because I do my research.
There are zombie dogs.
I've heard
and
about
big spiders.
So yeah, there are big spiders in Super Mario 64. But the main thing is that you start off in an idyllic place.
Yeah.
There's this lovely castle, there's trees, there's birds singing. It's a bright, sunshiny day.
You and then there's a fucking thing on a cloud that talks to you and you're like, no! Yeah,
that's creepy.
Yeah.
But like,
and he follows you around.
This disembodied voice, Bowser's like, I've trapped you in my castle. The one friend you have disappears after you talk to him, the little toad. There are haunted paintings with no explanation as to why they're haunted. Everything's locked until you like complete a certain number of things. It's all very Resident Evil.
There's a haunted house hidden inside a ghost.
Yeah,
it doesn't get scarier than that.
There's a piano that tries to eat you, and there's a staircase that goes nowhere, and there's a hole in the floor, like that thing where you run towards Peach, and then it turns into Bowser, and you fall into the... That's terrifying.
And the whole time, you are this little thing that's maybe not even a man, as we know now.
No, he's not human.
We don't know what he is.
What is he? And there's all these like creepy like architecture things within the castle. Like it's like a TARDIS kind of thing that it looks quite, well, it looks big, but it doesn't look as big as it actually is. Like you go into the dungeons where like the desert level is and there's a rabbit running around and it's this labyrinth of corridors and like, it's a fucking creepy game.
Unlimited staircase as
well. That's
if you haven't
terrifying.
Got enough stars, you can't run up it. And it plays that little piano bit as you go up.
So creepy. I've
been playing it recently. It's really good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Mario 64.
Things you should never admit. I mean, I've owned Mario 64 for years and years and years, like on the N64, obviously, and I've never finished it.
I've never finished it. You just don't need to finish it. You don't need to finish video games.
I think a lot of us dip our toes in these things, don't we, for a little bit, and then we might dip up that same toe a few times over the years and never actually get ahead and finish it. So
I still haven't finished Zelda. So
what?
Neither have I.
110 hours in. Well,
that's quite a lot.
There's like a big radius around the castle where I'm like, I'm not going to go there.
Not going there. That's
pretty much what I'm doing. And I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I'll do it at some point.
Yeah.
I got to about the 90 hour mark and then I went inside that radius and just demolished everything because I was super buff Link by then.
So strong.
I had the Master Sword, I had the best shield because you get the shield from the cart. You can go get the shield from the dungeons of Hyrule Castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, like, you can totally bypass all the guardians. Yeah. You can just come in from it from the north. I think I talked about this in the last podcast. Get that shield.
Yes.
That's a good shield. And then if you lose the shield, a guy in Tarrytown will sell it back to you.
Nice.
Worth knowing. I've never played a Mario game and felt a sense of dread or anything. Definitely in previous Zelda games, like when Zelda can get a bit dark.
Ocarina of Time is
Ocarina, yeah, like dark. Atmospherically.
Majora's definitely. Mask as well, because it's creepy. I've written about it before. It has this kind of meta creepiness where it takes everything you know about Ocarina of Time and subverts it using the same assets in slightly different ways. So even just playing the game itself, you're like, this isn't right. Mm. Something's weird about this. So good.
Yeah,
Majora's Mask is weird. But everyone forgets the immediate aftermath of getting the Master Sword in Ocarina of Time, where you roll out into Hyrule, like village around the castle, and it's just full of dead people.
Yes, that was a very scary moment. When you realize that you like A can beat them and B can run away from them.
You just run around them, yeah.
If you play the, I think it's the Sun Song around Rededs, they just like
they freeze up.
I think they curl into a ball. They freeze up. Is that right?
God, curling up into balls sounds messed up, doesn't it? Yeah, they might do.
The Rededs in Wind Waker are not as scary because they're kind of like sassy pirate zombies.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, because there's even that kind of shit in Wind Waker, which I'm playing at the moment with my kids again.
Yeah.
They like it.
Is Wind Waker the one, or is it Majora's Mask? There's one creepy underground bit that's filled with the zombie guys.
You get the undersea.
It's in the graveyard in Ocarina of Time, I think.
I'm thinking of a different thing. I think it's Majora's Mask.
You're thinking of Dark Souls.
No.
That's got graveyards in it.
Not played Dark Souls.
Because I've written down here, you know, games that aren't horror games but actually are. Mm. Bloodborne's totally a horror game.
Oh, yeah. I think it's completely a horror game.
Total horror game. But again, not really sold as a horror game. Dark Souls is horror game. Loads of those games are horror games.
Bloodborne is very, like, it has like the Lovecraft whole thing as well. So it's very much in that.
Its dressings are very horror. Something I replayed recently that sets me on edge, and I remember as I was playing through it, I was remembering how it unsettled me before, is Everyone's Gone to the Rapture.
That is creepy, though.
It is really creepy.
I've never played it, but isn't that the point?
And the whole horror about it is that it's the unseen horrors. Yeah. It comes down to that. You know, if I can see it, then I know it exists and I can deal with it. And the whole thing about that game is that the thing that's killed all the people is this magical invisible force, basically, that can travel in a telephone.
I don't need to play it now.
And there's a lot more to it. But yeah, I was playing it again recently. I was just walking around Yorton, I think. Was that Yarn? I'm mixing up Bloodborne and Everyone's Gone to the Rapture now. But yeah, I just sat there like, I feel like chilled a little bit I don't know why. Obviously, you know, family situations, kids, etc. There's a harrowing, horrible bit in Everybody's Gone to the Rapture where you kind of encounter, spoiler, it's been out for ages.
Yeah.
You encounter like the kind of residual spiritual energy of a woman whose kids and husband went upstairs for a rest because they fell ill. And like someone's talking to her and she says, they've been quiet for hours and I'm not brave enough to go up and look. Yeah. And it's like, they're totally dead. And that's horrible. What else? But even things like, I played What Remains of Edith Finch recently.
Ooh.
And there's horror aspects to that. Yeah. I mean, there is a fantastic whole deliberately like slasher movie sequence, which is brilliant. Yeah. Like if anyone listening to this, I definitely won't spoil that because that's new. But there's a sequence in What Remains of Edith Finch, which is kind of like a collection of short stories, which are kind of all presented in very, very different ways. And there's a bit with Barbara Finch, who is Edith's grandmother, possibly like a former child star. And it's just fantastic. I'll get the music that plays as you play the sequence is John Carpenter's like Halloween.
Oh, wow.
That plays as you're playing this sequence. And it's just like, that's perfect. Yeah. That's so cool.
I was going to say, it's maybe a weird example, or maybe not, but Gone Home.
It
plays on horror tropes. And I don't know why it does that, because I think it's a creepy from the
house.
And I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. There's one jump moment in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the light bulb blows as you walk past it. You're like, why? And then, it goes back.
Because I know, obviously, all the stuff about the dad's uncle or something. I mean, that's horrible.
Oh, it's, yeah, but I it's mean, not. horror.
No, it's not horror. Horrible. It's just nasty as fuck.
One of the reasons, again, well, I'm glad you brought that up, is because I've always been a bit torn on how I feel about the horror element in Gone Home.
Yeah.
It's obviously not really part of the story, and it's kind of, I don't like how it makes you kind of, it tries to make you believe in the supernatural element to it, which isn't actually present at all.
Yeah.
And it's a total red herring for the most part.
It's playing on your experiences of those kind of games before a little bit as well. It knows it's a video game.
Well, that's kind of why I'm a bit torn on it, because I know that my fiance would love Gone Home, but I also know she won't play it because she's zero tolerance horror. Yeah. She's not going to play it. And I know that if I say to her, like, look, it's fine, I'm spoiling this for you, the horror doesn't come to any fruition. Yeah. It's nothing. She won't believe me. She'll think I'm winding her up.
But it's also the build-up, isn't it? It's the build-up. The build-up to nothing can still be everything.
Exactly.
That's what happens in Firewatch.
But that's why I'm torn on it, because I think that, I mean, the fact that if I went to my parents' house after being not there for a long time and it was empty, suspiciously, with notes left around, in real life, I'd probably be a little bit tentative as I walked around.
Yeah.
And I think by putting in the slight horror element to it makes you, the gamer who sat at your computer, less likely to just sprint round going da 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 and doing all the bits and pieces. I mean, it's tenuous. I think I prefer not having it. But I was chatting to someone once and they mentioned that maybe the reason why there's that slight horror element is to kind of just give you a little reason to not just freak out and go for the whole house in 10 minutes. Like, it's to actually go, well, hang on a minute. I feel just as nervous being in this house as the protagonist does.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminded me of my grandparents' house, which they don't live there anymore, but it was kind of similarly, like, weirdly big and strangely shaped. And it had this kind of, like, all the patterns, you know, like old people patterns are always like, you can see faces in them. They're all very 70s.
Oh, like brown wallpapers and stuff. Carpets.
Wallpapers and carpets. Yeah. Like, weird.
We used to have glass on my old the door between the lounge and the hallway. Had this kind of textured glass on it, and I used to see faces in that when I was a kid. And I used to hated it.
But like, my grandparents had this like ratty old lion, like large, not life size, but large, that they always put on their bed. They'd make the bed and they'd put a lion on it. Why not? And a little mole that went on his head. And like, you go up the stairs and immediately to your left was this always dark room because the curtains were always drawn. And this lion with these big beady eyes looking out at you. And it was almost as if like, because you know, you don't go in your grandparents' bedroom. Why would you need to? So the lion was always like, you shouldn't be in here. You shouldn't even be looking in here. Yeah. What are you doing? Get out. And that was creepy. It reminded me of that. Gone Home reminds me of lions.
of poorly stuffed ratty lions.
Yep. Does it not?
Seems reasonable. was there anything kind of before 3D and walking around these places? I know Resi was obviously based on Sweet Home.
I've got some.
I'm trying to think of 16-bit horror games.
There's a few. I was going to, before we moved on to 16-bit horror, say that seeing as it is May the 4th, you ever play Star Wars Shadows of the Empire on the N64?
No.
There's a bit in that where you had to go through some sewers, and the N64 had some breathtaking draw distance issues, to put it mildly, and
literal inches.
And they were doing the fogging thing.
Yeah.
But you had to swim underwater through this brown water, and the boss was, I had to look about to pronounce it, a thing called the Dianoga.
Dianoga.
And it was basically like a big octopus tentacle thing.
No.
Yeah.
And it's had like a little mouth and these tentacles coming out of it. And I just remember that being god awful playing that for the first time, because you can't see anything, and then you just see these tendrils coming through this muddy, murky water at you. And I think that's why like water in games is like a big whoa. No.
Yeah,
things that can come out of the murk.
Yeah, that's
something. I had a similar experience with Breath of the Wild, because
the water in that's so nice.
Pivots back to Zelda.
Sorry, if you're like floating around the world with your big sailcloth, and what I've been doing is opening the map, going, there's definitely a secret there, marking it and then going to it. And like 5 times out of 10, it's a big monster that I'm not strong enough to fight. But it doesn't pop in until I'm nearly on the ground. And then it'll be like, bang, there's a giant here. And I'll be like, ah, no. And then I have to just land on him and give it a go.
Immediately cut stasis and run the fuck away.
Yeah, stasis. That's a good strategy. Last very long, though.
No, it doesn't on the big boys, does it? Have you done Eventide Island?
No, because I'm saving it.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I'm saving that.
That's almost survival horror in itself, isn't it?
I'm excited about it.
I had a go at it when I was really underpowered and just died. I got killed by lightning, which is the worst way to go.
You want to get the rubber armor.
Oh, I've got all that, but it takes it away. If you go to Eventide Island, it strips all your stuff away.
I forgot that was.
Oh, mate, I've got the whole rubber suit. You've got to rock that.
It's very bondage.
It's all bondage.
Straps and black and fish head.
That is a cosplay sensation this summer at Gamescom.
Oh, yes.
Rubber Link.
A slight aside that isn't really anything to do with games, but I walked past a charity shop today that had this sort of rubber leotard with zips on the nipples and the crotch. And
just
I was like,
in the window.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Obviously used because it's a charity shop. Who's going to buy that?
That had better have been sufficiently wet wiped. Good grief.
Not enough.
16-bit horror.
16-bit. Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know.
Clock Tower.
See, Clock Tower was on the SNES, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the PS1, though, PlayStation.
Yeah, it was different on the PS1. There was like a 3D version, I think.
Was it really?
I think
it doesn't matter, but it was definitely on the SNES, yeah.
The SNES one was, yeah, I've played the SNES one. The SNES one is, it actually holds up quite well, apart from the fact it's painfully slow.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you click to move, the girl walks
every
step across these rooms. So when I played it through, I played it under emulation and I had a speed hack.
Right.
So when I clicked them, I could just go, and she just walked straight over there. But that game's freaky.
For anyone who doesn't know about, because did it even come to the UK? I know it was.
I think it might have done, but
it had a Western. It was Japanese, wasn't it? Western translation.
Yeah,
It came out in America on import.
It might have come out over here.
I'm not sure. It had a PAL release, but I know you can play it on naughty means.
Yeah, it's very very creepy, that one. So you're in an orphanage, I think,
right.
And the kids are all being plucked off one by one by Scissor Man, who's like a really short dude with a massive pair of scissors,
basically like that boss in Resi 7.
Well,
he's got a massive pair of scissors. Where did he buy them from?
I don't know.
The massive scissor shop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he's quite small, so maybe comparatively that they're not too bad. But
well, they're shears.
Yeah. So what I like about it is it's just really, it's really matter of fact with the way it'll off you. So you'll go into a room and it'll be a dead end and you're like, oh, fine, I guess I'll turn back and go into the corridor. And as you're walking, he'll just walk in like unannounced and just cut you in half. And that's it. And it's, I guess that's me away.
I was looking at footage of the forthcoming Friday the 13th game earlier on today. And I'm not sure I'm into that.
Looks all right.
Because there was an old NES Friday the 13th, wasn't there, that apparently was awful.
Wasn't great.
Anyway, yeah, horror, scary things. Alien is a series that I'm quite into. On waypoint.vice.com, I've previously written a few things about Alien games. I wrote back when it looked like Neil Blomkamp, that's his name, isn't it, to District 9 and whatnot. He was going to do an Alien 5, and I wrote about like how that's problematic because of bloody aliens, clonal marines being canon, and also a heap of shit. Obviously, Isolation is canon as well. I think I wrote that before Isolation was out. But more recently, about Aliens Infestation.
Is that the DS one?
On the DS.
That is a super underrated
game. Super game.
When it came out.
Yeah,
really,
it's probably the best, if you know what I mean by saying this, probably the best Aliens game, if Isolation is the best Alien game.
Ooh, are we going to argue about AVP2?
Well, that's not an Aliens game, though, is it?
I don't know,
riffing on the movie. Infestation is basically Aliens.
It is riffing on the movie. The whole start of AVP2, the entire setup, is you and a bunch of Marines with pulse rifles going to an abandoned station and get swamped by aliens.
Yeah.
And they're all wisecracking and stuff.
But it's a series that's had a pretty... I mean, there isn't, and obviously we're talking about this,
but it's good.
Alien Covenant is coming out very soon over here. And wherever you're listening to this, it will be out in May. There's no video game tie-in to Alien Covenant. There's a VR experience where you take on the... You see through the eyes of an alien creature bursting out of someone, which sounds
perfectly
wonderful. A neomorph, I think they call it in the alien terminology. But, I mean... We've all played alien games, I guess. I wrote about the 16-bit Alien 3 games, which on the SNES and the Mega Drive, I really liked them. They're both. And just recently I actually played the some of the Ripley DLC for Isolation, which I enjoyed as well, mainly because I was stomping around the Nostromo and it was like, oh my God, this is... I mean, Andy Kelly wrote a piece obviously years ago about how accurate it was to the film set, and it's very accurate. What I mean, Alien games and you, Andy, what have you enjoyed over the years? AVP2,
AVP1, Alien Trilogy on the PlayStation 1.
And various also other platforms.
The, again, another underrated one, the Alien Resurrection game on the PS1. Because it was a good 3D shooter at a time where you couldn't really get those on the PS1.
That's carved a little bit of history out for itself, hasn't it? Because that was one of the first ones where the second stick was the camera, to swing the camera around. Like, somehow people were like, I don't know how that works. Oh, we'll use this.
And because of that, it still holds up fairly well. Whereas something like GoldenEye is like, whoa.
But like GoldenEye, if I remember anything about Resurrection, again, draw distance is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's very much... It came out really late. It came out when the PS2 was out, didn't it? But for the PS1.
I remember it being quite late, yeah.
Yeah. I think it got help. Several years after the film as well, I think. When was Resurrection the film? 97?
Maybe.
Possibly. 96?
I'm trying to forget, to be honest.
It wasn't one of the... I mean, to be fair, what was one of the best ones? The first two and the new... Have you seen any of the Alien movies, Kate? Is this a worthless question?
I have seen one of the Alien movies.
Have you really? But you've like watched three films ever.
You're not going to like my answer.
Is it Alien versus Predator?
No.
Is it Alien versus Predator Requiem?
No.
Is it Alien 3?
No.
Is it Alien Resurrection?
No.
Is it Prometheus?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't count.
I mean, in terms of that kind of series of films, it's not the worst one because the Alien versus Predator films exist. But
I don't really know what to compare it to because I haven't seen any of
that. That might explain why you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that bothered me was the bit where the big wheel is coming towards Charlize Theron and she goes,
the big wheel
runs in a straight line.
It's a blimmin...
Follows the track.
Spaceship.
Just like roll to the side slightly.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be fine.
But, you know, she wasn't going to make it anyway, was she? That's the thing with these films.
You've got to...
You can only have one at the end.
Yeah.
Or, you know, post-colonial Marines canon. Apparently you can have more than one.
I'm okay with it being what's his face and Thingy's head. I really want to see the space adventures of what's his face.
Just as a head.
Thingy's head. Yeah, like he's the sassy robot head.
Yeah.
She's the traumatized.
Have you not seen
lady.
The bridge sequence they've released?
No.
That connects Prometheus to the next one?
No.
It's available on that internet and you get a little clip of Shaw, isn't it? The survivor from Prometheus and him, and she repairs him and they fly off to... I've totally forgotten the name of the big humanoid people in that series and that are in Prometheus.
Again, I've tried to blank Prometheus.
Yeah, you know, they kind of... At the start of Prometheus, they're there and they got their black goo and they goes into the water and they're kind of big, bluey humans. And anyway, they go to their... what's presumably their world, and I think Michael Fassbender is going to mess shit up over there quite significantly.
Oh, no.
By dropping a load of these goo canisters on it. But yeah, I mean... did you play Alien games as a kid? Were you freaked out by any of them? Like little 16-bit prisoners with their chests bursting open?
Well, considering that I used to have to take long breaks from Ocarina of Time because of how scary it was for me, I don't really think the Alien games are for me.
No.
No.
A little, like a really pixelated face hugger on your screen just sliding on.
That was in the arcade game, wasn't it?
I think
Aliens the Gun.
Aliens the Gun.
The Gun.
I was trying to think, was there an Alien 3 gun just game gun. As well?
And it had a gun on it.
Yeah. Oh, right. You still get it. There's still an Alien gun game in some arcades.
Yeah, it's like Extermination or something,
right,
I think.
Right.
I didn't really go to arcades because I think the nearest one to me was a Hollywood Bowl in the middle of nowhere. So.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
We had Ocean Village in Southampton that had a Daytona Village machine and some other stuff. But
cool.
And obviously I live in Brighton now, so there's the pier that's full of crap. I went to a cool arcade in Torquay last summer, as you do. Had loads of cool arcade games. I mean, you like the Alien movies a bit then, Andy,
yes,
but not Prometheus. I mean,
I've got a weird relationship with them.
What's your weird relationship with the Alien movies?
The second
movies?
One is clearly the best.
That's your weird relationship.
And I have a weird relationship with the third film that I remember it being good, but every time I sit down to watch it, I'm like, no, this is crap.
Well, they did the kind of the non-Fincher approved, whatever it's called, assembly cut or something.
Whatever.
Afterwards, which made it into a little bit more sense. But
there's a reason it didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a complicated film, wasn't it?
I also find that the first film, it's good. and I understand what it did. And it's a really important piece of horror cinema.
It's a haunted house film, isn't it?
Yeah, basically? Really important piece of horror cinema. But when I watch it, I'm like, it's good. It's not. I'm much more into what the second film does.
Yeah,
just it's a total. I think, by the hand and drag you through 90 minutes of screaming.
Well,
basically.
The second one's really long, isn't it? But I think the second one's a lot more chaptered. It seems to have these stages to it, whereas the first one, of course, is very slow. It's so quiet.
Very slow film.
Very quiet. Very beautiful at the start. And then the kind of like last 40 minutes is just like this panicked, sweaty run.
That bit's brilliant. It's the build-up.
You don't like the build-up?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's because like the first time I watched it, I probably loved it. But yeah. Every time I've gone back to the first one, I'm going, Aliens, a classic, I'll watch it. I always find myself hitting about the half an hour mark and I'm like, on my phone.
Reading the plot on Wikipedia. Yeah. Anything good coming up in this?
When's the bit with a cat?
Does anyone do that in films? Or TV shows? Do you ever like look up ahead what's going to happen? Or is that just me?
That's terrible. That's a bad thing sometimes. To do.
If I'm watching a movie and I'm like, umming and ahhing about it, I'll have a little peek.
I have done that.
So if there's going to be some kind of cool thing that's going to happen, I'll try to not read right towards the end. But if there's something that's going to be cool coming up,
I've done that. But that's mainly because getting me to watch a film these days is an absolute miracle.
It's a commitment.
Yes,
it is a real commitment. We have this problem with TV shows and everything at home. But I've only just started watching Twin Peaks, and I've owned that as a DVD box set for many years.
Talking about horror, I get the fear about going to the cinema because it's like I think the reason why I only ever watch really trashy stuff at the cinema is because I kind of know I'm either going to like it or it's going to be totally throwaway and it doesn't matter if I don't pay attention, or crucially, it's going to be short. But like when I see these like Oscar winning flicks that are coming out, this will probably happen with Alien Covenant as well, to be honest. I'm like, if I see that like the runtime's 2 hours, I get like, because I've got to sit in there and I can't even check Twitter if I hate it.
You might need a wee.
That's fine. It's more just like, if I get halfway through this and I'm just like, I am not entertained, the idea of having to sit for an hour just sweating it out, like, I can't do it.
I went to a screening of Prometheus just about pre-release, like a media screening at the IMAX. And of course, I got there a bit early, had a couple of beers, and that's not a short film.
No.
And I had to run out for a wee. And it was the bit where there was the thing they called the hammerpede showed up and it like attacked someone and got in their suit.
Right.
So I came back in. I missed all that. Like, that's a really crucial bit to that film. I was like, why are those people? I just kind of assumed it was because that film is nonsense and just got on with it. But yeah, I mean, do you have any... you're probably not going to go and see this movie, are you? Because you don't like horror films.
No.
I saw some things recently, no spoilers, but I saw some things that maybe I shouldn't have seen about this film. It's very, very bloody.
Ooh.
Very, very gory.
Oh, yeah, I saw that bit in the trailer, which...
The back split.
Inverse alien...
The actual birthing of
birthing
it.
Birthing.
Oh, sweet.
Horrible.
Yeah. That's my kind of horror. I like gore.
It's
I'm into gore.
Proper gory. I mean... Is that a good thing, or is it just kind of like this series is in trouble and we need to up the blood, the gallons of blood a little bit?
That does seem to be a go-to if you want to just hit the shock button. Yeah.
Because even in the trailer, there's like the bit where there's lady people in the shower, people having a...
The
alien's going to get them.
If we're talking about
sex
gore as a horror sort of... hook point.
Yeah.
I just finished playing, I reviewed Outlast 2.
Oh, that's pretty mixed, isn't it, across the board?
I had a slightly interesting experience with it. So when I got my review copy through, it wasn't through Steam, it was just a pre-release download.
Right, yeah.
Had a quick look through the files, as you do, and in the files it said, game is censored, true.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just in a text file. And me being an elite hacker.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, but you might be, Andy. I have no idea.
Being an elite hacker, I changed the word true.
Oh, what did you change it to?
To false.
Oh, my God.
And played through the game.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know.
Nothing was different.
I don't know for certain on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was playing it with it and on false. But there was two bits towards the end, which I won't go into full detail of.
It's quite a new game, isn't it?
Where I was like... Oh my, that's near the knuckle. And again, being an elite journalist, I knew this is probably the censored bit. So I made two new save files there.
Uh-huh.
And finished the game because they're towards the end. Went right back into that text document, changed it to is censored, true. Played those two bits again, completely different.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
The game's out on Steam now. Asked a friend straight away, this is where to find that document. Do this. And he's like, it's not there. He's now finished it. Asked him which version he got. Censored version.
Da, da, da.
So they've definitely made some changes to that game because the Australian board were going to, they banned it.
Australia gets a bit funny like that, doesn't it?
They actually banned it. And then they said, no, those bits aren't going to be in the finished release. But my eyes have seen them.
There you go.
What kind of awful are we talking here?
There's a bit at the end.
People are not going to see this, basically.
No.
Yeah. Well, no, this bit isn't, this bit's unchanged, but it's actually quite clever what they did. Mm-hmm. So spoilers for Outlast 2. At the end, your heavily pregnant wife, who you've just saved,
oh no,
as you're leaving the area of bad things happening, suddenly goes, oh, this is happening now.
Oh no.
This is happening now. This second, it's happening. You
know, horror situations are like hot curries.
The game is all in first person. And in the version that you will play, from what I've seen people playing on Steam, you're kind of looking down at them as it happens. Kind of the baby comes out. So like you're looking down at them and the baby comes out here.
The baby pops out.
It's not very good radio this, but you're looking down at the thing.
Yeah, at the action.
At the action.
Yeah.
When I played it through with that little hack that I did, the scene plays out exactly the scene. But your guy kind of gets...
Oh, no.
Right in there.
Oh, no.
In the business end of a pregnancy.
Wow. Okay.
You can't get too close because other things can come out.
Well, other things do.
I mean, I was
sat there at 1 o'clock in the morning going like, what is this?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the joy of childbirth is, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to witness. But well, Christ, you want to forget about it quickly.
All they've done with that bit is changed the camera angle. But well, the scene otherwise plays out the same. But yeah.
That seems a bit gratuitous, like not really very much relevant. So. Just like, look at this gross thing. Yes.
Very much so. But
is it a baby that comes out?
They did sort of say, this isn't the finished version, so keep that in mind when you're reviewing it.
Don't mention the baby.
I didn't sign anything. that's a game that definitely trades on the extreme gore side of things. It's got jump scares. I actually enjoyed it. It's got jump scares and stuff in it, but like there are plenty of bits where it's like, right, not much is going on, but there's a naked body skinned hung up in the crucifixion position. That's pretty severe to just have that line.
It's a bit weird to make it peak with childbirth, though, like the most gory event.
That's true. Yeah. Well, there's some other stuff throughout, but that bit is the whole game is based around the fact that your wife is carrying what half the people in the game believe is
the Antichrist.
Satan. Yeah, the Antichrist.
Oh, that's nice.
So they want her dead. They want her dead.
Right.
So he doesn't come to fruition. But the other group of people, they want her to give birth to the Antichrist. So they want you dead for trying to save her. Either way, you're in a lot of trouble and so is she. So that's kind of the...
a bit weird.
Very weird.
I mean, getting into the whole like representation of women in games.
It's not a great one.
It's a whole bucket of things.
It's not a great one. It's very, very intense.
Yeah.
I mean... games obviously have a much bigger problem than films of this sort of stuff because films been around a lot longer. I can see what they try to do. I'm not sure if they necessarily hit the target.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, I think they might have got cold feet at the 11th hour, which is why they made it a little bit less... involved.
Read very mixed things about that game. Got some
lot of running
proper pastings and some people saying I kind of liked it. So I'll never play it. It's just one of those. I never played the first one, just fell through the cracks. Should we address just a couple of
a lot
Frieda
of dicks
questions?
In that game.
A lot of dicks.
Oh well,
actual physical dicks.
Oh yeah, like everywhere.
Disembodied or
disembodied, attached, swinging, not swinging. A lot of dicks in
many dick states
in Outlast 2. A lot of dicks in Outlast 2.
Sweet. That's questions.
The trend of this year. We had Conan, didn't we? I'll just, okay, quick one here from at Hoey Bowie, which is Hannah Dwan. Mm-hmm. Do you play horror games in the dark, or do you make sure it's bright and happy in the room as you play?
Neither.
You just don't play them.
Yeah, well, I make sure it's bright if I have to.
I keep the light on.
Yeah.
Someone at Sega, someone who was at Sega then, made me play Alien Isolation in the dark, in a dark room with headphones on.
That's me.
And then he sat behind me, and the whole time I was thinking, he's going to jump me. He's going to jump me. And bless him, he didn't. Okay. But I still had like the one headphone just slightly ajar, just in case one side.
Have you ever had that issue with VR, where if you're playing a horror game in VR, you basically do not have a say in the matter? You are playing that in the dark because you're in it.
Yeah.
I had it. It actually wasn't even with a horror game; it was with Batman. I knew I was going to do
Batman VR. Though.
I knew I was going to do
a horror game.
It is towards kind the of. End. Towards yeah. the end, it gets very freaky. But I knew that when I got my new toy, I was going to play through Batman VR in one sitting. I was totally committed to doing it. But then I realized, like, I'm going to have headphones on in my house, not basically blindfolded.
Yeah.
So I sent my fiance a message basically just saying, look, if you come back in the next hour or so, don't mess with me while I'm in the VR zone, because I'll shit my pants.
Don't and come and...
Like, I just don't want to have to... constantly worry whenever I decide to use this in the future that you are going to mess with me. Can we just get that out
when you're
now
staring at yourself as Batman in the mirror in that game? Then you just feel a hand gently cup.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
that would be enough for me.
Who installed this, Alfred?
So, I mean, this was the thing I was going to mention earlier, is that at Amaze, one of the very few games I had the time to play was a game called Ooh. Five O's. So, I'm not really sure. How long to go, ooh.
I'm sure there was a band that had five O's as a name for
it
a while.
It wasn't that, no, I don't just, think.
Someone tweet me and tell me if that's true.
So my problem with VR is that it puts you in this really vulnerable state, like you were mentioning. Mm. Like, you have to just trust everyone around you. Otherwise, you're not going to have fun playing whatever it is, even if it's a super relaxing game. And so there was this game, there was a bed in the middle of this floor. All these other games around, all these people milling around, children, grown-ups, old people. All the people kinds, and then this bed, and people were lying down for 15 minutes at a time and playing this game called Ooh, which was meant to be this super relaxing, like, dream sequence, kind of just flying through objects and having a nice time while this woman goes, everything's gonna be okay and I love you, which was hit and miss. But I really enjoyed it. Was like, there were like floating deer. It was cool. I was having a nice time. But the idea of lying down on a bed in a very busy place where I didn't know anyone was terrifying, even if the game wasn't. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of juxtaposition of like vulnerability and like relaxation.
The physical place a game can put you in.
When you
play it. It's a bit like you're saying with VR, basically, you know.
Yeah. First rule of VR, don't mess with the person playing it.
You subject yourself.
You don't
to
want
it
to happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty. At Busker Lily asks, he has two things, but this one I think relates to something I said earlier on. He said, what game best captures the true unknowable fear of alien life? Which
Bloodborne
for me...
Bloodborne does a good job of it.
What was it?
Bloodborne does a good job of it. Like, it. You know how Dark Souls does that whole thing where it's like, oh, it doesn't really explain itself. You have to kind of figure it out. Bloodborne does that as well, being from the same people and from the same sort of creative background. But the whole point of Bloodborne is what you were trying to figure out is unknowable cosmic horror.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's the whole Lovecraft thing. So the fact that you are like, I don't really know what is going on is kind of, like, they actually riff on that a bit. And, you know, that is part of the point. The fact that you meet many people throughout that game who have tried to understand it and gone completely insane.
They've lost it. Yeah. I really wish I'd been able to spend more time with that game. I did about 7 or 8 hours.
It's really good. Have you heard?
I loved it.
Lots of people talk about
really it. Really liked it. And then just stuff gets in the way. But I mean, for me, going back to Rapture a little bit, and like the whole, I mean, it says here, you know, the words are the unknowable fear, I suppose. And the whole thing about the game is like, you can't understand this. And as soon as you try and adapt to it, it's already gone that step further. Oh, it's using the telephone lines. We'll cut the, no, it's already out of this area. And basically we have, through not understanding this thing or trying to understand it, maybe consigned the human race to death, basically. So that's quite one. I mean, Kate, any?
I've been thinking, and like the only thing I can think of is Everything, but it's not related to that. It's just that it sort of lets you be things that you wouldn't expect to be. Like, you can go into the one-dimensional stage and be shapes for a while, and I quite liked that.
What kind of shape would you be? A rhombus?
You can be a rhombus. You can be a sort of hexagon thing. You can be a line. It's all very
just a line.
Exciting.
Yeah. I saw a video. Someone was trying to being a fence.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. You can play as a fence. It was a funny. It's a silly, funny video.
No, I've forgotten.
Good.
We paused there for you, Andy.
Yeah, it's good.
And there was nothing coming. I don't know whether to ask this one because it's from Sean Cleaver, a friend of the show. I'll say because we all know him, right?
Mm-hmm. Business Sean.
He works for Develop these days, but he's contributed his share of Vice articles in the past. But funnily enough, you're talking about VR, so I'll finish on this. It says VR is the perfect platform for horror, so why aren't there many good VR horror games?
Well, there's one. Really good one.
Resi 7.
Yeah.
As the good one. But I mean, I was trying to think of this because I've been sent my share of VR horror games. Was there one called They Still Live or something? And then there was one called like something about a doll.
Yeah, Weeping Doll.
They were bullshit.
They are. They Still Live. I can't remember its name. That actually has a handful of really cool sequences in it. But the game itself's not up to much. Yeah. But it's kind of like a weird psychological horror. So there's a few bits where it kind of.
Sorry, which one?
It's the one with like the red. It's called like They Still Live. It was one of the launch ones.
Yes, it was a launch one.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but that has a couple of cool sequences. But the game itself's not great.
Pretty trust.
But I think. Do you know why? I think the reason why VR horror. It either isn't great or like it's a bit thin on the ground. It's just because this is why I think Resident Evil 7 was a really brave move to put it in VR, is because if you make a VR game and it's horror, right, half the people who've got VR aren't going to play it.
Yeah.
Straight away. Because I see it like whenever we do any VR stuff in the bar I work at, they're just like, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah.
And I get it. I played through Resi 7 in VR and I mean, probably caused myself some damage down the line on that one, you know, like, but you know, I mean, but it's I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, just stop being a coward, you gotta play it, but like, yeah. I would recommend trying it, just because whenever I talk about that game, I don't talk about it like people go, oh, remember that bit at the end where this happens? I'm like, yeah, I was there. I talk about it in slightly different way that I talk about other games that I finished. And I think that's kind of fun. But like, yeah, I think that with VR horror, one, it's a bit easy. It's an easy thing. Oh, you're in this thing. It's scary.
Yeah.
And I think that some people are a bit apprehensive to do it because people don't like being scared, surprisingly.
It's putting yourself in that position of vulnerability as well, isn't it? Where you are kind of trapped in the experience. It's not
sort of doubling up on it.
You can't look away from what's going on.
Yeah.
And big also time. Like, I mean, in simpler terms, I think people would genuinely die. Like, it's so real and so scary. There
has been comments made by developers on that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be some tiny indie studio going, oh, we've made this horror game, you should try it, it's really good. And then people die. And then you're forever the indie studio that killed someone.
I've remembered what I was going to say, and it ties into VR nicely. Yeah. So, did any of you play PT on launch night?
No.
You know when they did the flash launch of it and were just like, it's out?
Yeah.
And no one knew it was anything to do with Kojima or Silent Hills or anything like that. Talking about unknowable horror, that first night where everyone was playing it and kind of going, there's something more going on here. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
That was really creepy because every time you saw something new, you would like check the internet to be like, am I the first person in the world to have just noticed that? And it was this really weird thing where like, you almost felt like you were opening up, if Pandora's box was like layers, you were like going into the next bit and you were like, which layer is something going to really bad happen or tell me what this is? That was really, really freaky. But back to the VR thing, PT in VR, I put PT on in PlayStation VR and played it in the cinematic mode. So it's not even immersion. It's just on a big cinema screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had to stop.
Yeah.
Just didn't like it being near my face.
Yeah. Mm.
Like PT is the only horror game where I've tatted the tap out and gone like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad it got cancelled because I would have played it and I'd be dead.
Look behind you. No, is that what he says? Is it like turn around or something like that?
I just don't.
I'm trying to think of the dialogue.
It's.
I listen to a radio report, then it just goes like, turn, like look behind you or something.
Yeah.
No. Actually, like one we haven't talked about that we should have mentioned maybe is Oxenfree.
Oxenfree goes ties into the whole like a like sound design making it.
Oh yeah, because
it's like super cutesy.
It's
really.
All about like the sort of radio and like the red lights and the triangles.
The
and
red
like,
eyes.
What is going on? I don't know. It's so creepy. There's a bit like on a blackboard or something, and all these handprints start appearing, and you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah,
I had to take a break and go away, and then come back.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, it's not one I thought of immediately, but when I played that for the first time,
yeah,
it definitely creeped me out.
And there's bits where like you're playing in a time loop and like you're seeing things flicker in and out and you're like, why is my reflection appearing? Reflections freak me out.
Well,
you expect one and that kind of thing. Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah. And there's photographs in that game as well, isn't there? You take photographs and there's one not too far in where like it's very obvious there's some creepy ass shit. Yeah. Going on.
Such a good game.
But it's like a cutesy looking game as well. That's a really good game actually. Has that not been a PS Plus thing yet? Probably only a matter of time.
I don't know, it's just come out on iOS though.
Yeah, it's doing the rounds, nice. Isn't it?
I tried to download it when I was traveling and I didn't have any internet, so I haven't tried
for
it
iOS
yet. Yeah, also it's quite big.
I was gonna say you've got no space on your phone.
I've got a new phone specifically so I can play more games.
So you can play games. Bought a phone just for that. Cool. I think we should probably wrap up. There are a few more questions. Thank you for sending questions. Always welcome. We can't go through them all. Just very quickly, what else have we actually been playing before we go? I played Edith Finch. It's really good. I'd recommend that. What Remains of Edith Finch? What about you, Andy?
Street Fighter V, why are you asking?
Well, okay, yeah. Okay, you play anything new? Anything new, Andy?
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is fantastic.
Yeah.
What have I been playing? So Nog came out today.
Yes.
Did Tumbleseed. Super Rubber Resurrection came out, but I haven't played that since the...
We covered Nog on the website today.
Yeah.
Or two days ago. When
I
you
haven't
hear
read
that.
It, yeah. But I've been like tweeting about Nog all day because I'm going to Montreal, which is where they're based, and I'm going to go hang out
with
them.
I'm downloading it tomorrow. I haven't got a chance today.
So the EU codes might not work.
Oh, really?
Because I got sent one and then I had to message them being like, it's not working and I promise I'm not trying to scam you.
Yeah.
But it should be fine eventually.
We read our share
And I'm going to download Tumbleseed on the Switch. Because it's real hard on Steam, real hard. So I'm hoping.
Well,
Switch
it suits
will
the physical nature of the Switch, doesn't it?
And it's got HD Rumble, which I'm excited about.
Yes, which is good to see an indie dev use the HD Rumble thing. The Snake Pass didn't, and I really wish
it
had.
Shame, yeah.
Really wish it had. Andy, where can people find you to follow you on Twitter? I should also point out, we haven't even mentioned it, that you kind of run a lot of shit up at the Loading Bar, which is obviously where we've streamed from before.
Yes.
And you were on the stream briefly.
I was on the stream.
Beating the UK Street Fighter champion.
Beating Problem X. Thank you very much. Yeah. In a first to one.
First of one. the opportunity was there for him to get his own back and he didn't want to take it, did he?
Exactly.
He listens to this.
I know.
He wants revenge.
There we go. You'll get it, I'm sure. I do everything through Twitter. It's Andy Hero. I spell my name wrong, apparently. It's A-N-D-I.
Is that actually your given name? Is that
no, my name's Andrew, but you know when you're a kid and you're in the playground and everyone's like, what's your nickname? And my friend Matthew's like, Matt, and my friend Peter's Pete. And I was like, well, mine's Andy. And then just spell it A-N-D-I. No one corrected me.
Like Andy Peters.
Like Andy Peters. Me and him.
Yeah. But that was probably a thing when you were that age.
It probably was, actually, yeah. Maybe that must be it. It's his fault.
I mean, so many things are Andy Peters' fault.
Do you think in another alternate life he could have been a Drew?
Drew?
Does that feel weird?
A few of my friends call me that when they're being really patronising.
Yeah.
So that has come up.
Drew Hamilton. Sounds like
that's weird. Sounds like a Kotaku, because it's Kirk Hamilton, really. But yeah, you could be his friend.
Could be.
Sure.
Or his brother.
Cousin related. I don't know where
Dad.
I'm going with this.
Son.
Lots of people try to give me lots of different nicknames because my full name's Catherine.
It's so Catherine with a C as well, which is really confusing. Kate
no,
Ray.
It's not.
But it is because...
It's legit Mike.
Yeah, but...
Michael.
Yeah, but that begins... Mike, M and M, A and A, C and K.
Fine.
Like a sail on.
That's the normal thing. But like I get Kat and Kathy and Katie and Kitty. I'm like, shut up. Don't call me any of those.
All right,
bothers
Kate.
Me. Yeah, sometimes people email me calling me Katie, and I'm like, it's in my signature. I don't care
how good your game is. Yeah. Now I'm not talking to you.
I mean, I
did anyone else
that.
Get sent a potato this week?
No, I didn't. But I was like, I know the guy who made the game, but I didn't get a potato, and I'm very annoyed. I
threw that potato away immediately. Then I realized I only found out really what the game was today, and I thought, well, that looks quite interesting.
Yeah.
Oh no, but it's the potato guys. So immediately, no.
I just keyed in the URL.
Yeah,
and saved waste.
My, my son wanted to eat it.
It's a real expensive PR thing.
It's a bit silly.
It's nice. I'm not sure how it relates to the game.
I mean, more PR should send codes on cake. That would be good.
But what if it gets squashed?
What, the cake or the code? Well, I still eat squashed cake. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care if someone sat on the cake. I'll probably still eat the cake. Once upon a time when I was doing music and we went touring in a tour bus, we found a cock cake in the bus, in the back of a splitter van, and like above the cab, and there was a little compartment. We opened it up and there was all these like paper plates and a cake box. We're like, surely not. Opened it up and it was a gigantic cake penis with little icing spunk coming out the end of it.
Oh, no.
But all the paper plates and stuff were Disney princess ones, as I remember.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I once went to Center Parcs with my family and maybe my parents bought my aunt a penis cake, and me being quite young didn't know what it was, but I remembered it. And then when I was older and I had that memory again, I was like, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh my. Because imagine being like three and looking at this thing and being like, what is that?
I can remember.
That looks horrible. That doesn't look like something I want to eat.
I'm pretty sure my mum may have made for someone a tits cake once.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my mum made a tits cake for someone. Cake. And I remember seeing it like on the side, just going, why have you put the cherries like that? Oh.
Oh no.
Kate, where can people find you on the internet?
Not sure they want to now.
For more tit cake conversation. Dicks and tit cake.
For more realizations from my childhood, you can follow me at How Not to Draw on Twitter.
Terrific. And you can find Waypoint pretty much everywhere at Waypoint on Twitch and Twitter. We're Waypoint Vice on Facebook. Find us online at waypoint.vice.com. Thanks for listening to the UK podcast. We do this every 2 weeks. So the next UK podcast will be live on May 18th, when I'll be joined by Ed Smith and Steve Burns. And among other things, we'll be talking about Max Payne 3. Because it's 5 years old that day.
Of course you will be.
And those are two of the biggest advocates for that game going. I've been playing it again. Spoiler, in preparation for that. And it's not as good as I remember.
Never in the world.
And I'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.